Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Following the re-election of President Obama last week, the residents of 32 states, at last counted maybe up to 33, have filed petitions online asking that they be allowed to secede from the U.S. and form their own sovereign governments. Statements filed for Texas and Louisiana so far have the most virtual signatures in support of those petitions, enough so that, according to the We the People webpage, White House staff will review them and forward them to the proper policy experts. So today we talk about this rhetoric. Are you going to take it seriously? Should we? Is it sour grapes? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you could tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, that's all one word. You can leave us your questions and comments on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. All right, so if you've been to this We the People page, you'll see that it's basically the same wording for all the states. Peacefully grant the state of blank to withdraw from the U.S. and create its own government. As of about an hour ago, over 75,000 Texans weighing in saying, yes, let's do this. 29,000 in Louisiana, almost 25,000 in Florida, 21,000 in Georgia, and so on. And, of course, you know, the threshold for, this is from CNN now, the threshold for eliciting a White House response is 25,000 signatures within 30 days. However, you know, the fine print notes that the White House may decline to address certain items. Okay, you know, it's not my place on this program to give you my opinions too often. It's your show. But I find this whole thing a little silly. And it reminds me of the kids outside playing basketball in the street, and the game's not going well for one kid, and he says, well, that's it. I'm taking my ball. I'm going home. And it does not make a great deal of sense at this time. And you certainly, I'll respect you if you say I'm wrong about this. 1-800-348-2551. Charles C.W. Cook, who is a conservative, very conservative columnist, writes this. This fringe talk of secession, silly and wrong. It should be opposed and marginalized by conservatives of all stripes. And he goes on, the Republican Party was founded by America's greatest unionist, Abraham Lincoln. Whatever complaints conservatives have with the blue half of the country, they presumably do not come close to matching the grievances that anti-slavery types had with slaveholders. If the crisis of 1861 wasn't sufficient to convince Lincoln that the dissolution of the Union was necessary, then a second term for Barack Obama should not be either. He quotes Lincoln, I appeal, said Lincoln, to all loyal citizens to favor, facilitate, and to aid this effort to maintain the honor, the integrity, and the existence of our national union, and the perpetuity of popular government, and to redress wrongs already long enough endured. And this is my favorite part of Charles C.W. Cook's column at the National Review website today. Conservatives are worried about American decline. There is no more sure way to hasten that than to break up the country into little pieces. And crossing the news, you can see it at WAMC.org. Texas Governor Rick Perry, who is a huge 10th Amendment guy, states' rights guy, says no. We should not do this. Governor Perry believes in the greatness of our union, and nothing should be done to change that. That is from a statement from his office, but he also shares the frustrations many Americans have with our federal government. Well, what do you think? 1-800-348-2551. By the way, if you're scoring at home, New York State had about 4,600 people sign on to this petition. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Dallas in New Baltimore. Dallas, you're on.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I think that it's an interesting movement. I don't think that we need to take an online petition seriously, but I think that we should be concerned that this sort of thing is even, you know, being signed onto by a lot of different people. To me, it doesn't really represent a movement by the Republican Party so much as it represents the sentiment of a lot of people who feel that neither party is really representing their views. Mm. And unfortunately, you have to be a member of either the Republican or the Democratic Party in order to have your views represented. To me, there are at least two safety valves in the Constitution and our system of government that prevent something like a secession movement or an insurrection, you know, from occurring. And that would be, first and foremost, our periodic popular elections, and then secondarily, a constitutional convention if you disagreed with the way things were going.
Yeah.
But the issue is that if it comes down to sort of a disenfranchisement, if you're not a member of the Democratic or the Republican Party, then you're really kept out of the system, and neither of those safety valves really allow you any redress, because you, in order to reform, for instance, the electoral laws, you would have to have Democrats and Republicans sign on, and if they don't support it, then you can't get them popularly elected. And if you were to have a constitutional convention, that has to occur either from Congress, which is controlled by Democrats and Republicans, or from, I believe it's two-thirds of the states have to send a petition to Congress, and it has to be the state legislature, which are controlled by Democrats and Republicans. So I think people that feel that those two parties don't represent their views are really sort of at their wit's end, and although this is not really an effective way to address that, I don't think that they see any other way to be listened to.
Do you think that those in Washington will take home any message from this, from what is happening in the last 24, 48 hours with these probably in the long run not too effectual petitions that are online? Do you think that the Washington will learn a lesson from this?
My impression is no. You know, I worked in state government for a while, and I think that there's this sort of disconnect between elected officials as well as their staff and the views of these sorts of people. I mean, what I see is primarily a rural versus urban difference here, and I think sometimes these movements might start in the countryside and not really be picked up too much by the media, not taken seriously until you have massive demonstrations, which is not where we are now, but it could be.
Dallas, thanks for starting the show off. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Let's go to Beverly in Schenectady. Beverly, you're on Vox Pop. Hi.
Hi, Ray. Thank you very much. Yes, they are at their wit's end, but one wonders what their wits are. I think that these people, whoever they are, first of all, I would like to know who started it. I don't know if there's any research in, who proposed this.
Well, the CEO of the CEO of TeaParty.org says it wasn't us.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so I think someone should expose the person who started this, because I think that what they're trying to do is, as the other caller said, get disenfranchised people. But, why are we in a democracy if we can't vote for what we want?
Yeah.
Well, and if these people didn't sit up and voted for who they wanted, then what can we do about that for them? I mean, if they want to start another party, fine, let them start one. We don't care.
90 million people didn't vote. So what do you think about that? Maybe you ought to start by voting.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, in Australia, I heard from a program that you could get penalized for not voting. They'll penalize you $15 if you don't vote. And Mr. Ornstein, who is at a think tank, a conservative think tank, he was the one that was talking about this at one of your shows in the evening. And he said that I think what we should do is make it a lottery. And the people who pay the penalty, the one who votes, put your name in and see if you can win it.
Interesting. Beverly, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Vox Pop on WAMC. Yeah, you've probably seen the news about this, 32, 33, maybe more states now going to we the people and saying we want out. And 75,000 plus Texans have signed on to this. Over 29,000 in Louisiana, close to the 25,000 in Florida. What do you make of it? 800-348-2551. We go to Alan in Glenmont. Alan, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
This is an issue that was solved by the Civil War. And I don't remember whether you were speaking about it at the beginning or whether it was somebody else's commentaries that you were bringing up. But what it does is it underlies the divisiveness that exists in the country. And it's symbolic of the divisiveness. And we've got to find a way to come together and use the democratic process to bridge gaps. If these people are that dissatisfied that they want to succeed, let them leave. Let them go to Canada. Let them go to Argentina. Any place they want to go.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, during when President Bush was elected the second time, there were many prominent, Hollywood and otherwise liberals who said, that's it. I'm moving to England, to France, to Canada, whatever. This is a whole another ball of wax. We're going to take the whole state with us. So
that's what they can't do. And that issue was settled by the Civil War.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. In fact, when this whole thing started to erupt, I was reminded, and I actually found the article. It goes back to late December of 2008 in the Wall Street Journal. There's this Russian professor He's an academic. He used to work in the KGB in the 70s. His name is Igor Panarin, who predicted the U.S. would break apart in 2010. But if you get a chance, search for this article and then put it into context of some of the things you're hearing now. And I think you'll find it interesting. Alan, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to David in New Paltz. David.
Well, I'd just like to say that the Civil War is not over. With Hurricane Shelley, with all the $30 billion worth of reconstruction,
Sandy.
That has to be,
yeah,
Sandy.
Yeah, you had me confused there for a minute.
Sandy, rather.
Okay.
The people down south are saying that this is no longer a federal FEMA event. This is a state event. The state of New York is the one responsible for the cleanup and the restoration, and they should tax their own people. We're not going to pay for the North.
Hmm.
But once you get Katrina and it's down south, then it all goes, oh, well, we need federal funding for our southern projects.
Hmm.
And once you have a president elected from a different part of the state, like we had three presidents from Texas, before Johnson was president, it was just a little cow town of a state with some oil wells. But now it's the ninth largest economy in the world after three presidents. That's where all of the energy in the country went. And the fervor now with the immigration from the Mexicans and the South American population that wants to come over the border and come to these states, they're really concerned, not the fact that they're taking jobs, but the fact that once the Spanish people, the Mexicans get the vote, they're going to vote for those states, Texas, California, New Mexico, Arizona, to be part of Mexico again, because it was taken from Mexico.
Oh, well, another interesting angle. David, we got a hard break here, but thank you. 1-800-348-2551 is our phone number. 1-800-348-2551. Yeah, more on this on the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Smith College Museum of Art, presenting Drawn to Excellence, Renaissance to Romantic Drawings from a Private Collection, works from the 16th to early 19th century, smith.edu/artmuseum. Healthy Living Marketing Cafe, an independently owned natural food market providing natural and organic foods, opening in Saratoga Springs, 2013, healthylivingmarket.com. Reform Pilates Studio, Saratoga Springs, teaching Romana's Pilates, providing a fully equipped studio with Gratz apparatus, private, semi-private, and small group classes. ReformYourBody.com. Old Songs Concerts, Voorheesville, New York, presenting folk quartet Work of the Weavers this Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., oldsongs.org. And the Berkshire Eagle, presenting The Spurs USA and Friends, a traditional classic country variety show at the Colonial Theater, Pittsfield, Friday, November 23rd at 8 p.m., colonialtheater.com for tickets.
It's Fox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551 from the Washington Times. Here's a quote. Critics describe the effort as a bit of an overreaction. Anyone who wants their state to secede from the Union is someone whose brain has already seceded from their body, said John Andrews, director of the Conservative Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. What do you make of it? Much ado about nothing? Perhaps, but there are some underlying issues here. Clearly, there is something at work. Joe in Orange County. Joe, you're on.
It's more symbolic. I think people are looking. I mean, people who rejected the election, like I did, that really weren't happy with the election of the president, I just see us moving towards a failed state like we have in Europe. You know, like in Greece, where one out of every three people works for the government. And there's no growth in those countries to do it. We're moving in that direction. You want to know another failed state is California. California has a $26 billion budget deficit that continues to not protect their borders and let people in that basically, you know, are being provided for by the state and businesses that provide growth They just had Proposition 30. They're going to leave. Everybody wants to leave. So that's kind of the feeling of people who are really looking at the United States moving towards a failed state. I mean, when Barack Obama started a bunch of years ago, when he was first inaugurated, he did it under Greek columns. And that's where we're headed. And I think people are looking at it from that perspective. You've got an electorate that 47%, that was an unfortunate thing that Mitt Romney talked about.
That was a little ironic, eh?
But you know what? Those are the people that voted. It's people who are more and more dependent on the government, and they're not concerned with innovation, growth in the economy. It's what I can get now, and it's the other 47% or, you know, maybe 43% now who are sitting there saying, man, we're in trouble, and we are going to be in trouble.
I take it then, and you don't, of course, don't have to answer, but I take it you voted for Romney in this case, or did you vote for Gary Johnson?
No, I voted for him, and I wasn't tremendously happy with Romney. I mean, but at the same time, he was a lot better than Barack Obama. Barack Obama has, you know, we're going to tax the quote-unquote wealthy coming up, and wealthy is in New York State, and I have to laugh because everybody in New York State owns $250,000 or more. People who make that, and that could be a fireman and a nurse married together in New York City, or it could be a subchapter S corporation, and that's not going to help me grow my subchapter S corporation when I get taxed from a rate that goes up to 40%. It's just more money in the government's pocket.
All right, so let me ask you now. Obviously, you're not pleased with the way things went last week. So, but I mean, this whole secession movement, it's not anything that is something that would be on your radar. In other words,
I'm not going to go to Fort Sumter and hold out there in the middle of the harbor and start shelling. Actually, the opposite of it. I'm not going to start shelling a federal base, but I do think it reflects a lot of people's disappointment. It's more symbolic than anything else. And Texas has always wanted to see a seat from the union anyway. And,
yep. Well, they're the 15th largest economy in the world, I think. So, I mean, they could pull it off. Whether Louisiana could do it or Arkansas, I don't think so. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Take care. I was just going to say California used to be the world's 10th largest economy. And that country, literally, we'll call it a country, but that state, California, as a state itself, or even the size of some states around the world, is a failed state. You know, they're failing. They're going to need a bailout, and we shouldn't give it to them. It's bad discipline, and that's where our country's going.
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Jonathan in Norfolk. Jonathan, you're on.
Well, it's clear that Appomattox didn't settle everything, right?
Well, I think you're onto something there, my friend.
And if you remember at the time, some Union soldier asked a Confederate soldier who was his prisoner why he was fighting. And he said, because you guys are down here. And I think that sentiment is reflected in what we're talking about here, because majority of the secessionist movements are in southern states. And ironically, the southern states, except perhaps Texas, benefits materially and economically from the federal system. Everyone else sends money, more money to these states than they receive from these states.
Hmm.
And they are in generally the poorest parts of the country. So I think many of these states would be cutting their nose to spite their face.
But, I mean, it won't
happen.
In reality,
they wanted to do that.
But it won't happen. I mean, but what symbolism, what's the message of this, Jonathan? You're a smart guy. You call often. What do you take from this?
Well, I take several things. Firstly, I think that our electoral system, especially for the election of the president, is anachronistic. Don't forget, it was developed when the speed of communications was that of a horse. And why we can't move to a popular nationwide election of the president, I do not know.
But I mean, you know, okay, go ahead.
This is, you know, disenfranchises people like you and I who are in New York or in Connecticut or Massachusetts, and similarly people in Texas and Louisiana. Secondly, I think people are very disturbed at the historic gerrymandering of our of our elections in this country, such that, again, people feel disenfranchised. So I think if you could move to a situation where people thought that their vote really counted, both in presidential elections and in congressional elections, this would answer a lot of the perturbance that people have with our current system.
Maybe. I mean, I think that perhaps a message here is much more states' rights oriented and much more that, oh gosh, here comes more and bigger government in 4 years. And I think that may be why so many people are upset on that side.
Well, I could understand that. I mean, I think the federal government is much too big, and a lot of the things it does should be devolved sincerely from both a political and from an efficiency point of view down to the states. I've always felt that the states should handle all healthcare issues on a unified basis. We now have several systems with the inefficiencies built into them to a ne'er-do-well.
Well, Jonathan, I appreciate your input, and you always bring something to the table here, and we go to Connie in Albany. Connie.
Hi. I felt disenfranchised in 2000 when the Supreme Court took over the election, and I never considered creating a movement or joining a movement to secede. I don't even know if such a movement existed at that time. And I think that probably true that there is some sort of symbolism that is kind of ugly in this. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on it.
I think there are those, whether it's the Tea Party or something like it, that say, you know what, the federal government is too intrusive, and there is a states' rights, a 10th Amendment issue here, and we've had enough. I think, again, this is symbolic. It will not lead to dissolution of the union. But good point, Connie. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Chris in Clinton County. Chris.
Well, hi. I've come across the Southern Poverty Law Center's literature. They're online, and they ascertain that since President Obama was elected the first time. And now that the amount of paramilitary groups that are racist and their various races, you know, Muslim, black, white, predominantly white, has grown from several hundred to about 1,400, I believe.
Now, where were these numbers from? I'm sorry?
The Southern Poverty Law Center.
Okay.
And Morris Dees, and he's been recognized by the American Bar Association.
Yeah,
as you know, he's like, their research has gone into bankrupting the Ku Klux Klan, and they work with the FBI. I mean, this is I think it's a great amount of ignorance in the population that buys into seceding from the union, perhaps frustration, but
I believe frustration for sure.
Education, bringing the light of day, finding out who's in there, and getting dialogue, and encourage people to talk.
Yeah,
and that's the ultimate solution. And but being aware, you know, if there's any crazies out there, nip them in the bud. You know, prevent like Wall Street from being blown up.
Now, does this mean, do you think that this, what we're seeing here with this, I would say, some symbolic secession movement, is an indicator that this nation is in fact culturally broken or broken in some way?
No. I think it's our nation's always growing. You know, there's always parts of our society that are in need of replacing. You know, I mean, we're all Congress and the Senate, we're arguing with each other and calling each other names. It's unfortunate somebody.
Well,
like
that's been going
Trump,
on an awful long time, though. I mean,
but we've been around, what, 225 plus years, and as a democracy. And well, it's unfortunate somebody like Donald Trump's called for a revolution.
Well,
what? I mean, he's who was it, Reagan or was it Bush 1, 41, that gave umpteen billion-dollar bailout for his failed businesses?
Well, we see a lot of bailouts and a lot of money going from the federal government to failed businesses. But, Chris, we'll leave you there, and we'll go to Ed in Ackard. Ed, you're on.
Oh, hi, yeah. You know, my first inclination and what I told your screener was just let them go.
You mean let the states go?
What?
Let the states go, you mean?
Let those states go.
Oh,
they're
man.
A drag on the rest of the country. Geographically, it'd be a bit of a nightmare, West Coast, East Coast getting together with those guys in the middle. But it almost seems like one of the earlier callers said the Civil War is still going on, and at times it seems like they won. And as for failed states, I mean, what is the purpose of government but to give a voice to the people? And, you know, when you hate the government and shrink the government, in a sense, it's switching the role of a big government for the role of big plutocrats. And, you know, the people that are funding the Tea Party, even though there's a lot of really well-meaning people within that, are basically giant oligarchs that want no government at all, so that it's purely a caveman type of situation where the rich rule. Revolution, they want a revolution of the rich against the poor. I don't think there's ever been a revolution like that.
But, I mean, what they would say is, well, you know, the other side wants a revolution against the rich and against people who have, in deference to a centralized, you know, deity that is the state. So,
well, I mean, all revolutions that have been when too much power accumulated and the little people rose up and revolted. So that's the normal progress of human history, if there is such a thing as progress. But on the, you know, I said, well, yeah, let them go. But then on the other hand, I thought, well, there's constant talk of all this polarization, but it's such a narrow range of polarization. The really basic issues. You know, we had a choice between two presidents, candidates that wanted hydrofracking, drone attacks, oil drilling, offshore oil drilling, all kinds of oil drilling, coal. And, you know, we got to choose. There was nobody speaking that had any chance at all, you know, that, hey, we don't want fossil fuels. We really want to go with a heavy-duty all solar and renewable. No, we don't want hydrofracking. We don't want to be attacking people extrajudiciously with drones. And it was, you know, the candidates that spoke for that, you know, such as the Greens, they're totally shut out. Nobody even knows who those people were, not on the debates or anywhere. You know, if there was something like instant runoff voting, then there'd probably be more participation, and those kind of voices would have a choice, and it wouldn't be like, oh, if you vote green, well, then you're for sure voting for Romney, as happened in 2000 with Bush and Nader.
Right.
So that would be a way to reduce polarization. But I've been through those so-called flyover states or drive-through states, and it does really seem like a whole other country. You know, you tune the radio from top to bottom, and it's just, you know, one right-wing conspiracy theorist after another, and, you know, heavy-duty religious superstition and all of that. So maybe we should just let them go. I don't know. It's a valid thought. And
all right.
Who won the Civil War? Not so sure. During the Bush administration, I was sure it was the bad guys.
Well, Ed, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Rich in Voorheesville. Rich, you're on Vox Pop. Hello.
Hi, Ray. I just wanted to make a couple of points and one comment. The petitions on whitehouse.gov, the only requirement that it takes to file one is you have to be 13 years old or older.
Exactly. And again, this is show. And I was talking to Patrick Donges, our producer, about this today. By the way, Patrick said he put a petition on that his birthday should be National Free Ice Cream Day on this website. And the point is, why would the White House say, well, if any petition hits 25,000, we will issue a comment on it? Why open yourself up to that?
Well, because I think I think heart's in the right place. I think the idea is to support civic engagement by people. And you've skipped me ahead right to my comment on
this. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Because a lot of these, you know, New York is one of the petitions on there. On Saturday when I saw it, there were 169 signatures. Any decent reporting on this subject is showing that The names on the petitions aren't necessarily from people who live in those states.
Yeah, and they're trying to figure out exactly where they are coming from. But yeah, good point.
It's a reflection on two comments now. I think the weight that the media is giving this and the attention that they're giving this in the way that they're giving it is unwarranted because
It
just goes to show people don't understand how our government works. This is a symbolic petition.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a First Amendment right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, but it doesn't have any binding authority. The only thing 25,000 signatures is going to do is get a response from the White House.
Right.
You know, maybe if you ask them for Barack Obama's recipe for beer, you get it. That's how that was released.
Okay. But, you know, the thing is, though, at what point then does it take on more weight? In other words, you're at 75,000 who probably a good portion of that are that number from Texas, actually. But, I mean, if you hit 150,000, then does it mean something? When does it mean something?
It means something when people learn something about civics, and instead of doing some mouse click activism, they go to their state legislatures. They go to their state legislatures. They call for a constitutional convention in their state or a referendum or an initiative to say, you know what? We want the people of the state to vote on secession. Not that 25,000 people in a state of 8 million or 20 million or 25 million decide, you know, we want to succeed.
Yeah. Well, I think
there's a little thing called majority rule.
Well, you did a great job of bringing it back to reality. Of course, I still have 20 minutes to cover on this show, so, I hope you didn't kill it. But thanks a lot, Rich.
Thanks, Ray.
Have a good one, buddy. 800-348-2551. Rich, of course, is absolutely correct. And if you still want to call and say something, why, feel free. Otherwise, we'll just play some music, right? Okay.
Support for WAMC comes from Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York, serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available, thedamcafeandeli.com. Rhinebeck Artist Shops in Rhinebeck and New Paltz, featuring holiday gifts, stocking stuffers, picture framing, and fine art materials for students, professionals, and the public for over 30 years. Rhinebeckart.com. United Way of the Greater Capital Region, Albany. Live United. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. UnitedWayGCR.org. Pioneer Valley Chinese Immersion Charter School, Hadley, Massachusetts, working to prepare students for the global economy. PVCICS.org for information on kindergarten and sixth grade enrollment. And the office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry featuring laser and digital technologies, WoodstockDentist.com.
Some Facebook comments here. Ellen on Facebook says, hey, what's new? I assume she's talking about the secession movement on online. And then Martin says, this sounds insane, which I'm pretty sure is just talking about this program. But Rich got us straight here. It's all show. And you can check in on WAMC Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC radio. Or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. And, we still have a full bank of phones, so let's go back to them, and we go over to Eli in Utica. Hello, Eli.
How you doing, Ray?
Good.
Well, of course, this is an absurd notion, but to piggyback on Jonathan's comment, the southern states would have an immense amount to lose if they ever did secede, the red states. Fact is that your caller put down California as a failed state. California, New York, and Massachusetts, for every dollar that we send in taxes to the federal government, receive back 78 cents.
Okay.
From the Treasury Department. Now, looking at I got the list here of the southern states, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Arkansas, approximately $1.35. For every dollar in taxes they pay, get back $1.35. Then it goes to Kentucky, Alabama, $1.60. And we end up top of the list, Mississippi, with $2 returned for every $1 they pay in federal tax. So the fact is that the blue states, especially we here in New York, we would be gaining immensely if they did leave us. It would be a vast amount of money that would return to us.
But they won't. You know that, right?
Oh, of course they're not going to. Yeah. Yeah, it's an absurd notion. But I think the White House should use this opportunity perhaps to explain to these people. I'm sure they look upon New York, California, and Massachusetts as the welfare states where all their tax money is going to support all these large inner cities. The fact is just the opposite. Our treasury is going to them to support their poverty and whatever else they have going on that's sucking up federal tax dollars. Texas, Jonathan is correct, Texas is kind of a break-even state, so they really wouldn't have much to gain or lose. They're listed here as they get back 95 cents for every dollar that they pay in mm-hmm. federal tax. But all the other red states, almost right down the line, it's almost fascinating. It's a red state, blue state dichotomy. The red states are literally welfare states, and they're sucking up money from the taxpayers of the blue states.
Geez, maybe we should let them go. I don't know.
Hey, we should. We would be, believe me, 22 cents on the dollar, it'd be a vast amount of money that stayed in our treasury.
All right, you and I are engaging now in seditious conversation. So, Eli, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, have a good one. Let's go to Paul in Altamont. Paul, you're on.
Hello, Ray. Thanks for taking my call. I was responding to your question where you had asked, or right after you had commented, that it's not going to happen, right? And so I don't know if you are kind of asking or talking yourself into that question. But
well, I don't know.
Anyway, you then asked about the message, and I think about this every now and then, especially when silly, crazy things like this come up. And I think the message is that it's a party before country, and I think that's how many of these people feel who are wanting to secede or at least making overtures that way. And it's always party before country. It's about me, me, me. I think many of the callers who have said before that there is a huge deficit in taxes paid versus taxes received. Tax payments revenues received from many of the southern states. But I want to point out a few other interesting bits of demographic info.
Okay.
The crime belt, I remember from a long time ago, is still and has always been across the southern United States. The lowest education rates are there. The highest obesity rates are there. They're most dependent upon military spending for their economy. So when they talk about freedom, I'm not sure what else what they're trying to get at. So I begin to wonder, is it a communication issue? Is it an education issue? Do they not realize?
I think it's fear. In other words, I think it's fear of, in other words, I know people who are big supporters of gun rights, and it's not me. I've never owned a gun, but I certainly respect people who do. And, you know, you see what the gun sales did? Right before and after the election, the gun sales are through the roof. People are afraid the government is too big and coming for them. And I think a lot of this gets back, and I said it earlier in the show, to 10th Amendment, to states' rights, and people thinking the federal government's tentacles are going to grow even huger in the next 4 years. And I think it's just fear. I think ultimately this too shall pass. That's why the Constitution is here, to protect all of us.
Yeah, and thanks. I appreciate that you're taking up this topic. It is timely, and I think it's very interesting in contrast to what many progressives, liberals felt on the left after Bush was elected, then elected. Let's say 12 and 8 years ago. So.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And you know what? We got to step back. Everybody who's upset or happy or whatever, take a step back. Everybody will be okay. Paul, thanks a lot for the call.
Take care.
Yep. Let's go to, I hope it is, it Aliza or Eliza?
Aliza.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. And this topic is very near and dear to my heart. I'm a GED teacher.
Okay.
I run a school in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and help adults get their GEDs. In a conversation with a friend recently, he proposed an idea that why don't we let all the sort of racist, bigoted states just secede, and they can have their anti-abortion and lack of education and college access and health care and pro-gun and small government. Let them have that. Let them live in a country where that is actually what they get, you know, anti-gay, anti-women, and let the rest of us that really believe in education and government, you know, paying taxes for our police and nurses and education. And I thought, well, what a crazy idea. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, the country is so polarized. There are people that really don't want those things. They don't want women to have abortions. They don't want gay rights. They really don't want them. And yet I live in a world where I do want, you know, health care for everybody and gun control and abortions for women that want them, and assisted suicide. So I thought, wow, you know, I never really actually thought about what if we did become two different countries where people could actually have the government they want.
I think that not necessarily the best idea. I also think that I also think that you know, there's a danger on both sides to paint with a broad stroke those you disagree with. In other words, not everybody who wants small government or who is against abortion is an idiot. And it's a fact. I mean, there are very smart people on both sides.
I know.
And so we make it more polarizing when we say things like, well, the other sides are a bunch of commies, or the other sides are a bunch of fascists. And then it gets worse and worse. And maybe it starts with each one of us just sort of stepping back and saying, well, I'm going to respect what I hear.
I do in my heart agree with that. But it was an idea where I thought, wow, what if people really could live in a government that they wanted? I mean, just before Vox Pop, you know, the man was talking about, you know, how in the Netherlands they're preparing for global warming. They're building things, their infrastructure, and we're about to blow billions of dollars after yet another storm demonstrating global warming. And why can't we learn? Why can't we learn that this is really here and that we have to take these things seriously? But the people that don't believe in it, we're about to spend billions of dollars to clean up after Sandy, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, of course, your theory taken to logical extension would mean about 300 different governments in this state, I mean, in this country, you know? There'll be a lot of little countries.
Well, then we turn into Europe.
That's the Balkans. Hey, thanks, Eliza. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Well, take care.
I think it's Eliza, and I apologize. Andre in Williamstown, you're next.
Good afternoon, Ray. Great subject. You always bring up good topics to talk about.
Well, thank you.
I hadn't really heard about this particular movement or these calls, but what I recognized is just a few days ago, a good friend of mine sent me connection to a group called the Enlightened States of America, the ESA.
Okay.
And I just hung on to this, and, you know, I being in Massachusetts, I'm an unregistered voter. We're not independent voters. We're unregistered here.
Okay.
That way in the primaries we can go back and forth. But this is what this says, and take it for how it sounds. It's straight out. Dear Red States. Now, this is from the Enlightened States of America.
Okay, now what are the Enlightened States of America?
Well, I'm not really sure. I haven't done too much research, but just listen to this.
It's presumably blue states, then, I take it.
Well, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Go ahead.
And I myself I voted for President Obama 4 years ago. I campaigned in the primaries for him, and I'm proud that he is our president. So,
okay.
Dear Red States, we're ticked off at your Neanderthal attitudes and politics, and we've decided we're leaving. We in Florida intend to form our own country, and we're taking the other blue states with us. In case you aren't aware, that includes California, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, New York, and the rest of the Northeast. We believe this split will be beneficial to the nation and especially to the people of this new country of the Enlightened States of America.
Oh, boy.
To sum up briefly, you get Texas, Oklahoma, and all the slave states. We get stem cell research and the best beaches. We get Andrew Cuomo and Elizabeth Warren. You get Bobby Jindal and Todd Akin. We get the Statue of Liberty. You get Oprah Land. We get Intel and Microsoft. You get WorldCom. We get Harvard, Princeton, Penn, Colgate, U of R, you get old Mississippi. We get 85% of America's venture capital and entrepreneurs, you get Alabama. We get two-thirds of the tax revenue, you get to make the red states pay their fair share. Since our aggregate divorce rate is 22% lower than the Christian coalitions, we get a bunch of happy families. You get a bunch of single moms. With the blue states in hand, we will have firm control of 80% of the country's fresh water, more than 90% of the pineapple and lettuce, 92% of the nation's fresh fruit, 95% of America's quality wines. You can serve French wines at state dinners. 90% of all cheese, 90% of the high-tech industry, most of the U.S. low-sulfur coal, all living redwoods, sequoias, condors, and the Ivy and Seven Sister schools, plus Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Caltech, and MIT.
How long is this?
Well, it's a couple more little paragraphs.
All right.
Just a couple more, thank you. With the red states, you will have to cope with 88% of all obese Americans and the projected health care costs, 92% of all U.S. mosquitoes, nearly 100% of the tornadoes, 90% of the hurricanes, 99% of all Southern Baptists, virtually 100% of all of them televangelists, Rush Limbaugh, Bob Jones University, Clemson, and the University of Georgia. We get Hollywood and Yosemite. Thank you.
Well, you know, I think that might be just a tad snarky.
Well,
but you
know,
had me at cheese, actually.
Well, you know, it goes on both sides. That's the point of it.
I hear you, man.
Is that the ones that are thinking, oh, we should, you know, it goes both ways.
Okay, well, you made your point, and quite an extensive point it was. Andre,
okay.
Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Jeremy in Woodstock. Jeremy.
Hi there.
Hey.
So everybody I talked to, you know, is asking me, well, are you excited? Are you happy? Are you elated? Whatever.
About what?
You know, after the election.
Okay.
And I had two, you know, feelings. One was a slight bit of relief that we seem to be a little more sane than we were in 2004. And the other is that it's kind of sad. Nothing's changed about the fact that we've been locked in this pretend ideological battle. You had a caller earlier,
yeah,
who you know, said, "Well, I voted for Romney, and you know, it sounds like a, you know, well-spoken, well-meaning guy, but immediately all the points of information he used to bolster his argument were incorrect, and a lot of what we're hearing, you know, obviously there's all kinds of little dark underbellies to something like a secession movement. There's a lot of racism out there. There are a lot of people that are really uncomfortable with the demographic shift. You know, the white men are no longer in charge of the country. That being said, for example, you know, he cited, well, you know, taxes going up on, you know, a couple making $250,000 a year. That could be a fireman, and that's not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
It's not true because the tax rate that they're talking about is an individual rate of $250,000.
So in other words, it's not a household rate? Oh, I see.
Exactly. It's a household rate. Is what is it? Household rate, what, $350,000 or $500,000?
Okay.
The individual rate is $250,000. So, in other words, we're not talking about the same thing. Another thing, well, we don't want to go down the same road as Europe. Europe is a lot of Europe's problems have to do with the fact that they're doing exactly what the Republicans have wanted to do. This entire time that the Republicans have said, we don't want to be like Europe, they've been pushing austerity measures, which is exactly what Europe did to deal with the crisis, which, by the way, this is not a European debt crisis based on overspending and overtaxation. This is a debt crisis in Europe that's a response to the bank, the European countries having to bail out their banks after our banks tanked their economy along with ours.
Oh, I see.
So, in other words, you know, you look at what's happening in countries like Spain, all this massive influx of debt, that's from bailing out their banks after our banks collapsed the economy.
So that Europe is our fault?
Well, yes, the economic situation in Europe is part of a world that was just triggered by a world economic situation. That started on Wall Street.
Okay.
Wall Street didn't follow Europe. It was the other way around. But the point is that the Europeans have been using austerity to try to get out of the same problem that we're in, whereas we've had a very anemic Keynesian approach under Obama. And the fact is that the United States is the fastest-growing economy in the industrialized first world right now ever since that recession hit. We're the first ones out of the recession. And so what we're doing is working, and what they're doing isn't working. But it's 180 degrees from the from the argument that's being presented.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Jeremy, we're going to take another call here. Let's go to Dave in Burlington. Dave, you're on. Only about a minute left here, buddy.
Okay, hi, Ray. You know, there's been a secessionist movement going on in Vermont for decades.
Yes.
It's been a lot more popular since the Internet. It was a lot more popular when Bush was president. In 2002, I went to a talk between the head of the secessionist movement and a political science UVM professor.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was interesting because Quebec was thinking of seceding, and a lot of people were saying, well, we'll just leave with Quebec.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so that was interesting. But we learned a lot that day about how difficult it would be for especially a small state. Now, Texas might be able to get away with it. You said 75,000 Texans. You said, what do you do if 125,000 sign it? I think with the media coverage, as many people that voted for Romney in Texas will probably eventually maybe sign that petition, and that's a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't think it means anything in the long run, however. I was just saying, like, what does it show sociologically or politically if all those people... Well, you know what, Dave? I apologize, but we're out of time.
Okay.
I just looked at the clock. Anyway, we'll talk Vermont and seceding from the Union and the robust Vermont Navy another time. But we are out of time. Thanks to everybody who called in. Wow, fun show today. Support comes from New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners, working to help parents prevent and reduce youth smoking with prevention programs to counter tobacco marketing and help save lives. New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners at smokefreecapital.org. Maria College, Albany, New York, offering RN Baccalaureate Completion Program, Associate Degrees, and Professional Certificate Programs, day, evening, weekend, and online classes, mariacollege.edu. Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering workshops for adults and teens taught by master craftspeople on a 50-acre farm, snowfarm.org. And the Legislative Gazette, daily reports from newspapers from around the state at legislativegazette.com, the weekly newspaper of New York State government. That's it for today's program. Thanks to our producer, Patrick Donges, also to Zach Malloy, our ace engineer, and to Bruce Herbach, who answered the calls. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, another exciting open forum. Oh, boy. Stay tuned for a news update.